Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's program, we report on the last day before Election Day in the United States. Katie reports on new recommendations from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Finally, the present perfect on Lesson of the Day. But first, Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump are making a final push for votes on the day before Election Day in the United States. Harris is spending the day in the state of Pennsylvania, looking to win its 19 Electoral College votes. In addition to Pennsylvania, Trump holds campaign events in North Carolina and Michigan. About 77 million Americans have already voted early. The total is nearly half of the 158 million who voted through Election Day in 2020. Harris and Trump are now pushing for the votes of remaining supporters and undecided voters as voting ends on Election Day, Tuesday, November 5th. In U.S. presidential elections, the candidate who captures 270 or more Electoral College votes is the winner, regardless of the popular vote. In 2016, Democrat Hillary Clinton received nearly 3 million votes more than Trump nationwide. But Trump won 304 Electoral College votes and the presidency. In 2020, Democrat Joe Biden received 7 million votes more than Trump and also won 306 Electoral College votes. This year, the race comes down to results from seven states, called battleground or swing states, because of changing results from election to election. The states are Nevada, North Carolina, Wisconsin, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Arizona. Trump won Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin in 2016, but lost all five states to Biden in 2020. This year, opinion studies from all seven states suggest that Harris and Trump are basically tied. The vice president became the Democratic candidate after President Biden withdrew from the race in July. The 81-year-old Biden said he would not seek re-election after a poor performance debating Trump in June. Trump survived an assassination attempt in Butler, Pennsylvania, also in June, when a bullet struck his right ear. The gunman was killed after firing several shots. One other person was killed, and two were injured at the Trump campaign event. Trump launched his third campaign for the White House by renewing his Make America Great Again message and calling for a severe policy on illegal immigration. He promised to deport or expel 15 to 20 million illegal immigrants from the country. Trump blamed Biden and Harris for the inflation that came after the worldwide pandemic. He said his administration would increase taxes, called tariffs, on imported goods, cut taxes for Americans, open more lands for oil and gas exploration, and reduce regulations for businesses. On foreign policy, Trump has criticized NATO and suggested that the U.S. should step back from other defense treaties. Trump has not said whether he would send more military aid to Ukraine and claimed that he could end the war in the country. Trump said he supports Israel in its war in Gaza and Lebanon. He condemned pro-Palestinian protests in the U.S. and told Time magazine that the two-state solution might not be possible. Harris, at the age of 60, is projecting her campaign against the 78-year-old Trump as a generational change, saying, "We're not going back." Harris brings attention to her support for abortion rights after the Supreme Court's 2022 decision overturning the earlier Supreme Court decision known as Roe v. Wade. Harris said that she will sign a law restoring and protecting reproductive freedom in every state. While president, Trump appointed three conservative justices to overturn Roe v. Wade, and he said the issue belongs to the states. On immigration, Harris has spoken of her support for a bipartisan proposal for border security that would increase officers to deal with asylum seekers, among other things. On the economy, Harris said she supports higher taxes for companies and wealthy Americans and lower taxes on people making less than $400,000 a year. She calls Trump's proposed tariffs a tax increase on everyday Americans. Some tariffs put in place during Trump's term in office have remained in place under Biden. On foreign policy, Harris supports an active role for the U.S. in NATO and other military alliances. She supports continuing U.S. aid to Ukraine against the Russian invasion there. Harris has said that Israel has a right to defend itself against Hamas's terrorist attacks. She has called for a ceasefire so that all hostages can be released and has described the situation in Gaza as a humanitarian catastrophe. She also supports a two-state solution for Israelis and Palestinians. A Trump victory would make him the first incoming president to have been indicted and convicted of a felony in a New York trial. Trump denied any wrongdoing and is appealing the verdict. A Harris victory would make her the first woman, the first black woman, and the first person of South Asian ancestry to win the U.S. presidency. And now it is up to the American people.
American health officials say people age 50 and older should get vaccinated against bacteria that cause pneumonia and other dangerous diseases. Pneumonia is an infection that affects the lungs. It makes breathing difficult and can cause a rise in body temperature. Pneumonia can also lead to a cough that produces yellow, green, or bloody substances. The advice, or recommendation, was offered by a group of scientific advisors and approved by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC. The former age recommendation for adult vaccinations was 65 and older. CDC Director Mandy Cohen said in a statement, "Now is a great time to get vaccinated against pneumococcal disease in preparation for the winter respiratory season." The advisors voted 14-1 to change the age recommendation during an October meeting in Atlanta, Georgia, home of the CDC headquarters. Doctors widely follow the agency's guidance. Pneumococcal shot recommendations are sometimes called the most complex vaccination guidance that the government issues. The CDC currently recommends shots for children younger than 5 and adults 50 or older, as long as they have never been vaccinated against pneumococcal disease. Officials also recommend the shots for children and adults at increased risk for pneumococcal disease, such as those with diabetes, liver disease, or a weakened immune or defense system. There are more than 100 known kinds of pneumococcal bacteria. They can cause serious infections in the lungs and other parts of the body. Each year, the U.S. sees about 30,000 cases of pneumococcal disease, which includes blood infections, brain and spine inflammation, and other problems. About 30% of cases are among people aged 50 to 64. The first pneumococcal vaccine was licensed in the U.S. in 1977. Since then, drug makers have been coming up with newer versions that target several bacteria in a single shot. There are 4 vaccines now in use. They include Prevnar 20 from Wyeth Pfizer, and Vaxneuvance, and Pneumovax 23, made by Merck. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration this year also approved Merck's Capvaxiv, which can cost around $300 a treatment. The new shot can protect against 21 kinds of bacteria, including 8 not included in other pneumococcal vaccines. A Merck spokesperson said it is designed to help protect against the bacteria that cause the majority of severe disease in adults aged 50 and older. In June, the CDC advisors recommended the vaccine as a possible shot for adults at higher risk. At the time, the group also talked about the possibility of lowering the age recommendation for older adults. They noted that infections causing sickness peak at age 55 to 59 among Black Americans, a lower age than found among white Americans. Some scientists have concerns about the CDC recommendation. They say a second treatment, called a booster, may be necessary in about 15 years. And some new vaccines in development could force another update to the recommendations. Dr. Jamie Lehr is the chair of the committee's Pneumococcal Working Group. He was the only person to vote against the proposal. He said, "Pneumococcal has been a very confusing recommendation for many, many years, and it's hard to have a new recommendation every 2 or 3 years." I'm Katie Weaver.
You are listening to the VOA Learning English podcast. You just heard the Health and Lifestyle Report from my co-host, Katie Weaver. Katie joins me now to talk about her report. Hi, Katie.
Hi there, Mario.
Katie, you told about the new CDC recommendation for vaccination against pneumococcal bacteria. Government experts now advise that adults who are 50 or older should get the vaccination that protects against bacteria that cause pneumonia and other dangerous diseases.
That is right. Until recently, the age recommendation was 65 and older. But the latest research suggested that lowering the age for pneumococcal vaccination gives more adults the opportunity to protect themselves at the age when risk of pneumococcal infection substantially increases.
Okay, so the new advice is based on the finding that about 30% of infections each year in the U.S. are among people aged 50 to 64.
Right. The CDC did not change its vaccine recommendation for children. It says all children under 5 years old should get vaccinated. And it says children 5 to 18 years old who have had any high-risk health conditions should also get the vaccination.
What are some of the other diseases these bacteria can cause?
Well, along with pneumonia, pneumococcal bacteria can cause meningitis. That is an infection of the lining of the brain and spinal cord. The bacteria can also cause a serious blood infection called bacteremia.
Okay. Thanks for joining me today, Katie, and let's stay healthy.
Agreed. Stay healthy, all. Talk to you later, Mario.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Hello, my name is Anna Mateo.
My name is Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
You're listening to The Lesson of the Day on the Learning English Podcast. Welcome to the part of the show where we help you do more with our video series, Let's Learn English. This series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
Today, we're going to look at the language in Lesson 48 of the series. In this lesson, Anna meets a tourist visiting Washington and helps her find some places to visit.
Hello. I have lived in Washington, D.C. for a long time now, and I have done a lot. I feel that I know this city pretty well. Wait, that's the wrong way. Where is it again? Excuse me, can I help you? Have we met before?
I don't think so. I've just flown in from Boston. My name is Jean.
Hi, Jean. I'm Anna. I really feel like we've met before. Anyway, how can I help?
I want to see an interesting museum, but I don't know which one.
I can help with that. I've lived in Washington, D.C. a long time. I think I've seen all the museums.
Wow, thanks. So tell me, which museums are good?
Well, they are all good, but they're all different. There are science museums and history museums and art and culture museums.
I want to see an unusual museum.
I like the sculpture garden. Have you ever seen sculptures in a garden? It is really artistic.
I have never seen a garden of sculptures. I'll write that on my list.
I noticed in this part that both Anna and Jean are using the present perfect tense to talk about their experiences. It's common to hear that in this kind of situation.
That's right. We use the present perfect tense to talk about an action in the past that is important in the present. For example, we heard Anna say,
I have lived in Washington, D.C. for a long time now.
The present perfect may be confusing for learners because we use it to talk about a past action. It is called present perfect because speakers use it to stress the importance of a past event in the present.
You know, we hear another example a little later when Jean says,
I've just flown in from Boston.
The sentence, I've just flown in from Boston, stresses the present effect of a past event, the travel from Boston. The exact time of the travel is not important. To form the present perfect, we use two verbs, a main verb and an auxiliary verb. The auxiliary verb is have or has, and the main verb is in something we call the past participle form. For regular verbs, that just means you add D or ED to the base form of the verb.
Yeah, like live and lived. Let's give another example. Have you ever lived in another country?
I have lived in another country. I've lived in France for a little while. And I've also been lucky because I've visited many different countries. So those verbs, visited, lived, they follow the rule and just add D or ED to the base form. But for irregular verbs, you might find different forms for the past participle. For example, the past participle of fly is flown, just like the past participle of see is seen. For example, we can say, I've seen that movie.
Another way you can hear the present perfect in this conversation is with the adverbs ever and never. Listen again to this part.
I like the sculpture garden. Have you ever seen sculptures in a garden? It is really artistic.
I have never seen a garden of sculptures. I'll write that on my list.
The sculpture garden is a beautiful place just a few blocks away from our office. I noticed there that Jean used the negative adverb never, which of course means she hasn't had the experience of visiting that place. I sometimes hear English learners saying, I have ever, when they want to say they have had an experience, but that's not correct, is it, Jill?
No, I've heard that too. I think the way to understand this is to remember we usually only use ever in a question formed with the present perfect, not in a statement or an answer to a question. You know, Andrew, something else stands out for me in what Jean said here.
What's that, Jill?
She says she'll add the sculpture garden to her list. In each of these lessons, we have included a different learning strategy to guide people to be more effective language learners. In this particular lesson, the strategy is focus attention. By making a list, Jean is helping herself remember the places she wants to go.
And she can prioritize her time, too. By seeing that she has 5 places to visit in one day, she can decide how much time to spend at each one. Prioritize means to decide which things are more important than others. But Jill, our listeners might want to know why Anna said Jean looks familiar to her.
Oh, that's easy. The same member of our staff played a genie in another episode of Let's Learn English. She magically changed Anna's costume for Halloween.
Ah, yes, that's right. I remember. So this is what we might call an inside joke, because the creators of Let's Learn English know that the same person was playing the same role. Now, let's find out what other places in D.C. Anna recommends.
Have you been to the Museum of the American Indian? I've visited that museum many times. It is very peaceful.
I have always liked American Indian culture. I'll put that on my list. Do you have any other suggestions?
Well, if you like plants, you can visit the U.S. Botanic Gardens. It's very organic.
I have always loved plants. I'll write that on my list, too. Wow, you know so much about D.C.'s museums.
Well, I have lived here for over a year.
You're so lucky to live in such a beautiful city filled with so many museums and a zoo.
What? D.C. has a zoo?
Yes, and it's beautiful. You've lived here for so long and you haven't been to the zoo?
I've never been to D.C.'s zoo. I've never been to any zoos.
You have never seen zoo animals?
I grew up on a farm, Jean. I've known farm animals my whole life.
But the zoo has lions. And elephants. And zebras. If you have never seen a real live elephant, you must. They are so majestic.
I will. There. I've written my own must-see zoo animal list.
Have fun at the zoo, and thanks, Anna.
Have fun at the museums, Jean, and thank you.
We heard about 2 more unique places on the National Mall, the Museum of the American Indian and the Botanic Gardens. And I noticed that Anna is making her own list of places to see now.
Jill, what is your favorite museum in Washington, D.C.?
Oh, that's a tough question. I love the American Indian Museum, and they have a great cafeteria. But the Spy Museum is a lot of fun, too.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because we're going there in our next lesson of the day, Operation Spy.
Great! I can't wait. In the meantime, you can write to us with your answer to our questions. Have you ever visited a museum, a zoo, or a public garden? Where was it? What did you see there? What would you tell a tourist to see in your hometown?
You can email us at learningenglish@voanews.com or put your comments on our YouTube video for this podcast. And it'll be great if you share the lesson of the day with your friends and family. Remember that you can also find us on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks for listening. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
That's our show for today, but join us again tomorrow to keep learning English on the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm